So I thought long and hard about how to best approach Sif-Hei. It's very difficult because Mitztayer and Yerid Gashamim may or may not be the same thing, and there's really a whole Sif dedicated in the upcoming Siman in Tafresh Mem, which discusses Mitztayer in more length. So I was thinking about giving a conceptual, more lumdish Chabura, specifically just distinguishing between those or highlighting different dinim within Mitztayer itself. I chose against it for now. I think it's worth, we'll stick to the order of the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll mention the relevant dinim of Yerid Gashamim and Mitztayer over here as we need to. But when we get to Taf Reish Mem, I think maybe we'll spend like 3 shiurim on that particular sif, and we'll go much more into depth then, and we'll probably touch back on things that we mentioned here, but I think it will be more productive to just keep marching through in this order, and we'll stick to this sif itself in specific. That being said, let's begin. So Sif Hei in Tafri Islamic test begins as follows. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, Yardu Gushamim Harei Zeh Nechmas Zoch HaBayis. If the rain goes starts coming down, so he enters into the house. Meim Asayim Mutra Lefanos. Now one's permitted to turn into the house or to bring his kalim into the house. Different Rishonim. So Mishi Yardu L'Toch HaSukah Tipos Shem Yiplu L'Toch Tavshil Yipsel. Right, that once rain starts coming down, that the drops, that if they fall into the food, they'll make it bad. Afilu Tavshil Shel Pool. So even Tavshil of pool of beans. So the Ramba adds in, Vafilu ain't tafshilafana, even if the food's not there in front of him. And the Ramba adds one more line before we'll pause. Umish ain't obaki bizah shear. Now, if you don't know how to, you know, accurately estimate what this shear is, what will ruin the food, Yeshayr im yerdu kolkaf kishamim lebais im hayayotse, that if there was this much rain falling into your house, would you leave? So if it was a stage where there was so much rain that you would have also left your house because of the rain, so then also you have the right to leave your sukkah. Okay, so now this is obviously based off of the Mishnah, which had said, once the mikveh, whatever that is, becomes spoiled, it will be ruined. So then the Gemara tells us on Chavtes Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Yardu Gshamim, so Tana, we bring Brisa, Mishatisracha Mikvah Shel Grisin. So a mikvah of Grisin. Now, what's the Gemara doing with this shear? Right? What exactly is this shear? So there's a Machlokas Rishonim whether or not this is the easiest thing to ruin, which is in fact what most Rishonim assume, that it's even a mikvah of Grisin, that even if this bean stew, whatever it is, will get ruined from it. So then that's already reason enough for you to go, but you should know there's a minority opinion. There's a Yesh Omer brought in the Meiri, and the Rabbeinu Peretz, quoted in Orchos Chaim, says that it's actually the hardest thing to be ruined. Maybe one could read the Rambam that way if you really insisted, but you don't have to. There's Rambam also a feel of this, but but in a different sense. Basically, most Rishonim assume that this is the easiest thing which can be ruined, and therefore, this is, as we'll see momentarily, some degree of a leniency. That even once this very, very easy to ruin food would get ruined, you know, you only need, I have no idea how to measure raindrops, let's say a millimeter, right? So it only needs to be a millimeter wide raindrop to ruin it, as opposed to a 2 millimeter raindrop, which would ruin bread or something else, right? So as long as there's that much rain, so now it's gonna be a problem. So now, let's look at the language of the Torah for a moment. What does the Torah say? The Torah says the following. He says, the Torah says, if the rain starts coming down and it would ruin the food that's in front of you, so then you're allowed to leave. The smog he brings then, it was safer. Mitzvos kasav, mishiyardu tipos l'tocha sukkah, she'im yardu tocha mikvah yiskalko. That if they were to land on the food, they would ruin it. Afilu ein lo tavsha, she'iskalko yachalatzis. And even if you don't have a food in front of you, you're allowed to leave. Ratzalomar, kevan, she'yardu, shir, kadesh, she'iskalko, afilu ein lo tavsha, she'iskalko yachalatzis. Meaning to say, the smog says that you don't actually need to have food in front of you that will get ruined. And even if you would just have this much rain, that if it would ruin the Tavshil Shel Pool that was in front of you, so then you have the right to leave the sukkah already with that much rain. Ve'ein mashma kein. The Torah doesn't like that though. Midlomar kadesh tisrach hamikvah. The Gemara didn't say once the tikkur enough that the mikvah would get ruined. Ella mishatisrach. It says once it gets ruined. Mashma shatisrach mamish. It literally has to be ruined. What are they arguing about? What are the Smaug and the Tor arguing over? Let's rephrase and ask this question. Does the rain need to actually ruin the food in front of you? Right? Does it have to ruin the food? So it sounds like the Tor says yes. It must be getting to the stage where it's going to ruin the food that's literally in front of you. And in fact, you could ask the question similarly. Do you need to have food actually in front of you? So again, the Tor says, like, yeah, you need to actually have food. If you're not eating food, then this is not relevant at all. But the Smaug's like, no, you don't have to have any food in front of you. It doesn't even have to ruin the specific food that you'd be eating. Right? As long as, like, let's say I was eating something which is very hard to ruin. But if it's the type of thing that would ruin a mikvah shell pool of greasin, whatever this is, some sort of bean porridge thing, so then you have the right to leave. That's what they're arguing over. The Torah rejects the Smaug and says that he's wrong from the fact that the Gemara didn't say once it ruins it. From the fact that the Gemara says once it ruins it or when it's able to ruin it, it doesn't say enough rain that it would ruin this thing. No, it's when it's ruining your porridge, that's when you're allowed to leave. So pretty much all the Nosei Kelim attack the Tor, and they don't really understand what his issue is. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to ask it. The Beis Yosef asks it one way, the Taz asks it another way, and you could, this is something that they don't invoke, but the Yerushalmi actually says the language of what the Tor says. Oh, the Bavli should have said if it meant that. The Yerushalmi actually says, Kedei Shetisrach. Right? So, there's a bunch of reasons why the Tor might have issues. You could really deflect them all. You could say, oh, that's only the Yerushalmi, not the Bavli. You could answer up the Beis Yosef and the Taz's questions. But, practically, it seems like the Smaug just makes more sense, right? You don't actually need it to be ruining your food. It's just merely a matter of a shear. And if we look at Shulchan Aruch again, let's read his language. He says, "Me'emasai mocha lefanos, mishi yardu l'tocha tzacha tipos, she'im yiplu l'tocha taf shil yifso." Right, that if they were to fall in, that once these raindrops fall in, that if they were to fall in, it'll make it possible that it would ruin your food. Afilu taf shil shopul. And then the Rama adds in, "Vafilu ain taf shil lefanos." So from the Shulchan Aruch, it wasn't super clear whether you need the food actually in front of you. He says that it would fall, that if they were to fall into the food, it would ruin it, even this lower type. But Pashtus, he probably even means, as he argues in the Beis Yosef, against the Tor. And then the Ramah is explicit. Even if you don't have any food in front of you, that's not relevant. If it would fall in and it would ruin the food, then you have the right to leave. So, la halacha, we pass in that way. You don't actually need the food in front of you. If the raindrops are of a certain size, then you have the right to already leave, because that's what the Gemara was saying you have a Ptor for. Now, what if you can't figure that out? So that's where the Ramah comes in on the next thing. So that's easy. You know, if you see it's going to ruin this, or even if it's not even so easy when you have the food actually in front of you, but what if I can't figure it out? So then the Ramah tells us, then you just go and figure out it based off a different system. Not based off how large the actual raindrops are, because like that, you know, will this amount go and ruin my food or not? But this much rain, is it annoying enough that if this was inside your house, you had a burst pipe or something, you had water going and falling on your head? So that's how you're a Mishire. You say, if I would leave my home for this, then I also have the right to leave my sukkah. Which is interesting. It implies to us the following. And a question we should have asked ourselves once we saw the Gemara in the first place is, why does this have a shear? Right? It should always be up to a mitzvah. It shouldn't always be about whether or not it bothers you or not. So, like I said later on, we'll address this more in depth when we get to Mitzdayer and Yerid Kishon in general. But a simple question is, why does this have a shear? So the Pashut answer is because, for some reason, this is less than your standard rule of Mitzdayer, right? Generally, you need to be bothered a certain amount. But this, even though it's not bothering you that much, it's ruining your food. So you have the right to leave because you want to eat your food, so you can go inside. Oh, let's say you can't figure out whether it's enough to ruin your food. So then the Ramah says, okay, so then you default back to the regular standard, which is what? How much it annoys you. If it would be enough that it would drive you out of your home, you have the right to leave your sukkah, just like any classic mitzvah. Right? That's the implication of what the Ramah is telling us. So lemaisa, if you can't figure it out, you have no idea whether this will ruin the food or not, is it enough that you would have left your house? If this is uncomfortable that much, you should be able to figure out, is this amount of water annoying to you, enough that you would leave? So if the answer is yes, so then the answer is yes, you can leave your sukkah as well. So now,
so I want. Shinar Yerushalmi is a big heter. Is it more of a heter than?
It seems like yes, that this shear of once it would ruin the food is less of a requirement than your average mitzvah. In that, if you don't know how to figure out this lower standard, then you have the right to rely on the regular standard. Understand what I mean by that? That once the rain comes down enough that would ruin your food, even though it wouldn't be bothering you, which is what we're about to get to now, even though it wouldn't have actually made you mitzvah, but it will ruin your food, then you have the right to leave. Because you can't eat your food. Which, let's turn to the next point, and I think you'll see if this will clarify the point. The Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham brings in that you actually need to be mitzvah from this? Like, does it have to be bothering you? So, now the answer should be obvious. The answer is no. It doesn't actually have to be bothering you. Meaning, this much rain doesn't bother you. It's not enough. That's enough of a few drops here, but you're fine. You're not an istinus, but you can handle this. The rain's not bothering you. Just a few droplets. But will it ruin your food and make your food taste gross? Yes. So the Magen Avraham says, that's exactly what we're talking about here. You're putter already at that stage. If it ruins the food, even if it's not actually making you in a state of mitzvah, you are putter. Which, again, I think is the exact same sort of the Ramah. The Ramah and the Magen Avraham are really saying the same thing here. That this is for a separate reason than the classic mitzvah, which is actually bothering you, and therefore, I would have left my house, so then I have the right to leave. Which is always, of course, true. This is more basic. Now I'll take your question in 1 second, Alex. This is more basic. This is saying, well, before we even get to that, if it's going to ruin the food, there's this lower standard that if it's going to ruin the food, then you could ask the question, well, if it's ruining my food and I want to eat, so would I go somewhere where my food won't get ruined and then I'll be able to eat? So the answer is yes. So all from the same principle of Teishu Kinyan Taduru, that's why we have this lower standard, even though it's not actually bothering me, but it is bothering me just indirectly. It's not letting me eat my food. And if I would want to eat my food in my house and I couldn't eat my food in my house, I had to go outside or go somewhere else, I would do so. So comparably, I would go outside, even though it's not physically bothering me. And if I can't figure out whether or not it's ruining my food, so then I just default to whether or not it's bothering me. Does that make more sense? Then I'll ask Alex.
Right. But this is a bigger clue, because this is even when the food's not in front of you, so in theory, you're not even, that's the point, you're not even being bothered.
Yes, fantastic. Okay, very good. I'll harp more on that in a moment. Alex, you had a question?
Is it enough rain that would ruin your food, or it has to literally be ruining your food?
Right, so that goes back to what we started off with. Will it be enough that it's literally ruining your food or not? So from the Ramah, it's explicit, right? It doesn't actually literally, you don't even have to have food in front of you. It's enough rain that it would ruin your food. This seems to be an additional kula different than your average level of mitzvah, right? This is even less than mitzvah. You're already potter once this much rain comes down. Now, again, it's a little bit hard for me to dance around the lambda. So I'm trying to be careful in how I'm expressing things. But it's a little bit hard because, like, really, Yiras Geshamim and Mitzvah might be two separate things, and that would be an easy answer for why they have a different shear. I mean, regular Mitzvah has this, and this has this. There's a lot more to say about that, but I really do want to sort of save it for later on and get the halachos that appear from here. So get, like, what you do, the halacha over here. And I know that's a little bit backwards. Normally you want to explain things conceptually, and then you want to afterwards explain all the applications. But since the order of the Shulchan Aruch is this, I feel like it's a little bit too difficult. I mean, every Rebbe is different, right? So some people would prefer to do that. And personally, I would also. But I think it's just smarter for us to stick by his order. And when we get to Tafresh Mem, and whatever it is there, I forgot whatever it is, whatever is over there. So we'll be eyeing much more into Mitzvah in your discussion. Okay, two more questions. Go for it.
Yeah, so based on this point again.
Yes.
Is the food more of a Chepsev Sukkah than it is on the Gavra?
It's not wrong. Yeah, Mendel, once you invoke Chepsev Gavra, you're asking for me for Lumdus. But I'm gonna leave it for now. Yeah, Ellie.
I'm not saying go figure out you and your house. He's using some of the fun Mitzvah or Kitesh Yudhidhiru. Those are the same thing.
It seems like those two are the same thing. Let's assume Mitzvah, as Tosos tells us, right? Mitzvah is stemming from Teshu Kitesh. Right? Tosos says that. So if that's true, so then the idea is presumably the same. That if you would have left your house, so then you have the right to leave the Sukkah. That is the Torah of Mitzvah. And I'm basically raising an issue without really trying to address it fully, but apparently there's this lower standard here, and according to the Ramah, it's even if you don't have it in front of you, right, was off of the smell, right, against the Torah. So even if you don't have anything in front of you, nothing's going to get ruined. So there's this lower standard. Now, what's the reason? So I was like, explaining, oh, because if you were to try to bring out your food, it would bother you. So it's the same thing as Mitzvah. I'm trying to make them into one thing. It's not really a lower standard. I'm trying right now, without getting more into it, to try to just simply tell you, oh, maybe they could still be the same thing. And then since if I were to bring out my food, it would stop me from eating my food, and therefore I have a right to eat my food inside. So that's why even if it's not actually bothering me personally, it is bothering me personally, just a little bit less direct. Okay? Does that make sense? Are you all with me? You're on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So let's move on a little bit more. What about if it's ruined from other factors now? Now, again, this is also sort of entering the issue of, wait, is Yiras Geshamim unique, or is it the same as Mitzvah? But without going into that, I'll say that for the last time here, without going too much into that. So the poskim here, I'll say, even if it's from other factors, right, the Taz and the Magen Avraham both bring from the Lavush, that your putter, for example, let's say it's very, very cold, and you have a item which is going to congeal in the cool, right? No, I mean, it's pretty normal, right? If you have, like, I don't know, you bring a nice piping hot of corned beef, and it's got a lot of good gravy there, and then it's the winter, or feels like the winter, one of those cold October nights, and you're in New York, let's say, and the gravy, by the time you actually are, you know, you have your first course, maybe, but then now the food's getting all gross. It's all congealing. It's getting cold. So, is that a reason to be putter? Is that the same thing as ruining your food and therefore you have a right to go inside and eat inside? So they all bring that yes. Like Rav and Taz both say, and we Paskin, although I'm about to add a nuance to that, but we Paskin that indeed, if it's going to be ruined from other factors, then you have the right to go inside as well. It doesn't lav dafka. Only the rain will ruin the food, but even if the mikvah, the food, will be ruined from some other factor, such as twigs being blown in, or that, let's go with the cold one, right, it will congeal and become not as tasty, so then you have the right to go inside and eat inside. Now, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bikur Yaakov, and this, L'Halacha Maisa, adds another nuance, that if you can prevent that from happening, though, if you can prevent the food from being ruined, then you must, right, which is a separate question. If I'm mitzdar, do I have to prevent myself from being mitzdar in every situation? Pashto says, no, you don't have to. You're a mitzdayer, you're a potter. You don't have to go and do something crazy. You can't build a sukkah, which fundamentally will make you mitzdayer, but do you have to avoid being mitzdayer? Pashto says, no, you don't have to. Again, we'll deal with more mitzdayer more later, but Pashto says, you don't have to. But here, the Mishnah Berurah's language, according from the Bikur Yaakov, is really that you do have to. You have to prevent the food from becoming bad. Meaning to say like this. You give one example, right? Let's say you have, let's go back to your nice hot thing of corned beef, whatever I said, right? So now, how would you do it? So in his day, what would they do? They would keep it warm by bringing out some hot water, boiling hot water, and placing it under. And that way all the steam will keep on rising and keep it warm on the bottom, and that way your food won't congeal. You know, figure out some system where you have to keep the food protected. If you can, then you must. And you don't have a right to bring it inside then. So, in terms of our rain example, then, I don't know, to me it seems like you can easily have the same sort of thing. If you can cover the food as you eat it, so that way, let's say it's not going to get ruined every time you take a spoonful, right? But within reasonable way of eating, you could definitely protect the food. The food doesn't have to be in the sukkah, right? The food doesn't have to be, I mean, whether or not your shulchan has to be in the sukkah, right? But I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a cover over your plate and you're taking it out of a plate. I would think, assuming you can do it normally, it's not particularly uncomfortable to constantly be, you know, lifting it up, maybe that's what you should have to do. You should have a chiyuv to. That's not a reason to go inside already at that earlier stage once the food would get ruined. If you can prevent the food from getting ruined, anis dati, that seems to be the truth. Okay, so the halacha, if you can prevent the rain from ruining the food, you don't have a right to rely on it, but all within reasonability. Yes?
So then how do you tell the shear if there is no food in front of you? If there's no food in the sukkah, how do you say, oh, well, if I had a cover, then...
If you had food that wasn't covered and was being ruined, so then... I mean, you have food that I wasn't able to cover, that's the idea, I think. I mean, if the food was here and was getting ruined from the rain, so then, in a chanami, you'd have a right to go inside. Now, if you could prevent that from happening, so then that would always be true, I think. Although, granted, the shear is already hard. I think that's why you guys haven't learned your day yet, but the Ramah, I mean, you know, I've learned parts of it, but the Ramah very frequently quotes the Ashkenazim, the Minhagi Ashkenaz, which are, oh, Ein Anu Bekiyim, Mizman HaZeh. We don't know how to do Mimashire this, and therefore we err on the side of Chumrah. The Ashkenazim do that all the time. The Sephardim pretty much never do that. The Ashkenazim are like, oh, we have no idea how to Mimashire this anymore, therefore err on the side. So I wonder if this has a taint of that already, like, and if you find this very hard, to just stick to the regular rules of this stuff. Yeah.
So I just expand on Moshe too, saying, so yeah. if me and Dan are two in circles of neighbors,
yes,
and I have a special bowl that has a cover on it,
yeah,
and he doesn't, so I can't leave another shum and he can.
It would seem to be that way from the Mishnah Berurah. You guys tell me. What do you think? You tell me what you think. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you're able to prevent it, for example, with hot water, right? So unless you want to start distinguishing between rain, which I personally very much want to, but I have not done so because right here it doesn't come up and it's not so mainstream. I mean, everyone wants to distinguish between rain and then, and there's good reasons why to distinguish between rain and mitzdayer. But, like here, look, the Taz and the Malchus, and the same thing also, they just say, yeah, simply the same exact thing if you have, you know, other factors which are annoying you. So it sounds like, yeah, they're just equatable. They're the same thing. And then the Mishnah Berurah adds in, yeah, and if you can prevent it, then you have to prevent it. So to me, it sounds like if you could prevent it, you have to. So what happened to the whole smog tour discussion about whether or not if the food's actually in front of you, will it be ruined or not? So doesn't that become moot, which is basically what Moshe Tzvi is asking, right? So what's How do you answer that? So unless you want to start distinguishing between rain and other things, which I would want to, then I think that you'll have to say that in Achanami, that it's really true, that shear is going to be dependent on if I wouldn't be able to prevent the thing from getting ruined, which still might be less than your average Venstayer, but okay, that would be the halacha. That's what I think. So I think Lani Estati, again, I can try to confirm this with you by asking Tony Bitter myself, but right now I'm just reading the Mishnah Berurah. Right? The Mishnah Berurah just says that what you should do is, if you can cover it, even his language, right? His language is not that... He said about the other factors. Right, so now there might be reason to distinguish between rain. But I'm saying at least by that one. He gave that example about the hot water under the pot. Because of the Bekur Yaakov, im efter letakim below Torah Gadol. Right, that's what I was saying, again, always. Like, within reasonability. Otherwise, if it's not reasonable, so then it's not shy. You're already going to start for having to build a fort to protect your little bowl of cereal. Right, that's not what I mean. So because of the Bekur Yaakov, im efter letakim below Torah Gadol, shelo yikrushu ha-macholim. For example, so that way they shouldn't congeal. Kagon she'anichei malakara shemayim cham besocha. For example, put it on top of a thing of hot water. So then what should you do? Tzarech letakim ve'enol potter al yidei kach misocha. He doesn't say, you should. Is tzarech letakim ve'enol potter. That's pretty strong language. So I think that he's saying that you really have to. So again, maybe there's room, and Amir Tashem will come back to distinguish between rain and other things, but for now, let's assume they're the same thing. For simplicity's sake, you know, grant me that choice, that let's ignore rain versus mitzdar for now, and let's assume they're the same, because here, they assume like they're assuming they're the same thing. Now, maybe you can be machalik, and that might answer up some kashas, but let's leave it alone for now. Okay, let's move on. So now, another point that the Mishnah Berurah also brings from the Bikur Yaakov is an important one. Let's say it's raining on the other side of your sukkah. I mean, it's really probably raining over yours also, but you're being protected. The rain's not ruining you or ruining your food. So, are you able to eat in that situation, are you able to go inside, or do you have to stay in the sukkah in that case? So the Mishnah Berurah says you have to stay in the sukkah if it's not ruining. Your experience, it wouldn't even ruin your food right now, whether, again, you're having food in front of you right now. It's not hitting you. So then, that's not enough rain. I don't care that, like, in the atmosphere right now, there's a lot of rain falling down. That's not important. If it's not bothering you or your food or your would-be food, so you don't have a right to go inside. You're fine. You're kosher. And the Mishnah Berurah says that you can even make a bracha there. You might think, oh, maybe that's not a valid sukkah. I mean, I wonder if he means, okay, let's say it's, like, only a shir mitzumtzum, right? Okay, let's imagine you have still the size of a sukkah. So, of course, you can make a bracha in that case, because it doesn't matter. You're still in a valid sukkah in every single way. This is totally, totally fine. So, indeed, you do that. And then, also, I want to bring up another point. Let's say if you just see the rain coming. This was a point Yosef mentioned last week, right? Like, say you don't actually have the rain yet, but you see the rain coming. So, there is a ritva, and I think the Ron also says it, that your putter already from the sense, once you know that the rain's going to come, so you don't have to go and schlep everything out. So that way you don't have to become its star when you're in the middle of actually eating. But, I'm sorry?
Even if it doesn't end up raining?
The whole idea is because you expect it to rain. So then the Bikur Yaakov writes, Shekosov shekol o shelo yordu kshomim v'akom ha'mitzo o chlo v'sukha v'rashay l'barach mash v'sh'ein halach k'refa. However, the Shevet Halevi points out, the Dershu footnote brings, that it's Masha from the Guru Yaakov that we don't possibly like the Ritva, because he says, as long as the rain hasn't yet hit you, right, the same Mr. Brewer I was just reading from, right? That's the same Diak. The Mr. Brewer says that, oh, the rain's on the other side of your sukkah. It's not bothering you yet, so you don't have the right to leave. Oh, well, it's probably going to start seeping in soon, right? It's probably going to get me soon, but you don't have the right to leave. Mashma, not like this Ritva, not like the Ron. And I think that's the normal consensus, that we assume that you're not allowed to. Now, what about when you see the rain actually coming, right? Like, you know, when you talk about meteorologists, I don't think I need to be the one to say this. Meteorologists are right, like, whatever percent of the time, very, very small percent of the time. So if they say that it's going to rain, maybe, I don't think that's any reason that you'd have a right to leave for food, certainly. Let's say they say it's not going to rain, though. Like, it's, like, very clear. And also, it's very soon. It's not the type of thing where they're predicting 4 days from now. And that, either way, wouldn't impact you. But they say it's going to rain in an hour. And indeed, the storm clouds are coming, and you look outside, and it really seems like it's about to rain. I think that's a much more manageable case, a case that would really happen at that time. There, the Achronim are split. Right, the Achronim are split. The Mishnah Berurah brings some, and Pesach Tshuvos brings others. It seems to be a modern-day machlokas. I think that we err on the side of Chumrah here. That Rabbi Yashub says that you should make sure to still sit in the sukkah, even though it's going to rain. Okay, so Doesn't matter. You, right now, it's not rainy. You're not mitzdar. I don't care that you will be mitzdar soon. So when you're mitzdar, then you'll go inside. But right now, you have a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah. You don't have a right to eat outside of the sukkah. Things that are able to be eaten only inside of the sukkah. So that seems to be how we paskin. However, I'd add, this is my own point again, but I think all with common sense. I mean to say, if it's really, really, really clear, and it's about to come, and you'll get one bite in, and then you're going to have to go and pick up everything. It's going to be a whole tircha to get everything back inside your house. And assuming it will be a whole big tircha. It's not, you know, your box of cereal and your bowl of Cheerios, right? But rather, it's, you know, your whole meal. You're going to bring everything out. You have everything there. You realize this is not going to end well, and it's about to happen. I think that that is mitzdayer, right? We have a separate discussion about when getting to the sukkah is going to be mitzdayer. Rich Shem will talk about that as well, right? But if the whole situation is one of mitzdayer, it's just about to happen, I can't imagine that you actually have to do it in that situation. But if that isn't the case, well, you're going to eat soon. It's going to come soon, and it will ruin your meal eventually. But right now, you'll be able to have a decent amount of your meal, and it won't be that annoying to bring it all in. I think that you have to eat inside of the sukkah. Yes, Yosef.
But you can't just... Well, the first thing you have to eat anyway, and the other night you just...
We're going to talk about... We have not... Let me just clarify. Everything we've said so far has not addressed the first night. Paused on purpose in the mission in the Ramah. We're going to turn to the first night momentarily.
Okay. So just wait it out. Why don't you just wait it out? You don't have to eat right now. Wait in 30 minutes.
You don't have to. If you want to, you can. But that's being machmir. I think that generally you have to. If you want to eat now, you have to wait in the sukkah anyhow. That's what I was saying. Mahalacha, I think that you have to eat in the sukkah even if you see the rain's coming, even if it seems pretty certain. Unless I'm just adding, it's obviously ridiculous. You always have to have common sense when you're early on. Like, obviously, it's going to be, you're not going to gain anything by trying to go and start your meal now. You'll barely be able to start, and you're going to have a huge tircha, and all half your food will get ruined from the rain. You have to cheshbon. You should try, though. The side here, the point is to aim to go inside of the sukkah. Yes.
So you just wait, then, let's say, an hour, 30 minutes, whatever, for it to start raining, to then eat in your house?
If you're the type of guy that looks for heterim, then yeah. If you want to do that, if you want to wait until it rains.
As opposed to, like, going in and running right out a minute, 10 minutes later.
Oh, you're saying that if I was saying that if it's really, really a ridiculous situation where it's going to ruin everything and it's going to be really hard to bring it in. So I was saying that... within, again, being reasonable. So if it's the type of thing that you'll have to wait 2 hours for your meal for this, so then that's not the situation I'm talking about, because you should just go out into the sukkah and eat in the sukkah.
Right.
If it's everything that will happen in 10 seconds, that's exactly what I'm saying. So then you shouldn't, and just wait 10 seconds. That's what I think. Yeah, Alex.
Does it matter at all if getting to the sukkah is a tircha?
Yes, it does. That's going to be a separate issue. We're going to talk about that when we get to Mitzdar. That's a subject of discussion there as well. Okay, but over here... just another point again that the Shevet Alevi also says that if the schach is blocking the rain, and this really goes back to the same point, right? You're still able to eat in the sukkah as long as you're not being bothered by it and it wouldn't be ruining everything. If the schach is thick enough that as of now the rain isn't ruining you or your food, so then you have the right to still eat in the sukkah and make a bracha. Okay, I want to move on to the second part now because we're quickly running out of time. So let's turn to the second part of this Ramah now. What the Ramah adds in. V'chol zedavka b'shar yamim oleilo shel sukkah. This is all on the other days or nights of sukkahs. Avalayla harishona tzarech lechol kezayis b'sukkah af im geshamim yordim. You have a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah of kezayis, even if the rain is coming down. V'yikadish b'sukkah kedei sheyomar zman al ha-sukkah. Now, the Ramah adds in a point which might not have been obvious to you. Right? The Mishnah Berurah explains what the Havamina was in the Maskona, right? That let me first summarize what he said, and then I'll harp on this last point. So he says that on the first night of Sukkot, though, right, we've already seen this is where we're going to have intersection between the last Chabura and this Chabura now. The last Chabura was all about the first night. This Chabura is all about Yeridus Kishamim, or beginning, the topic of Yeridus Kishamim. So now we're talking about Yeridus Kishamim on the first night. What's the halacha? So the Ramah says you eat a kezayis inside of the Sukkah, presumably in the rain, right? Im Gishamim Yordim, right? That's what he says, not presumably, it's explicit, right? His words that even when the rain is coming down, and what should you do? You should make the Kiddush in the Sukkah. That way you can hop in the Brach of Zman, right? The Shechiyanu. That way you'll get the Brach of Shechiyanu in the Sukkah, and that way you'll be getting it on the Sukkah as well, instead of doing Kiddush inside of your house. Because what would you have thought? The Mishnah Berurah says it's Pasha, what you would have thought. You have a Chiv on the first night to eat a Kizai in the Sukkah. So what would I do? I'll eat my whole meal inside of the house, waiting hopefully that the rain will stop. I'll make kiddush, I'll have wash, I'll have everything inside of the house because it's pouring rain on the first night. And then I'll wait until the last possible time. I'll for my last kezayis. I'll go outside and see if it's still raining. If it's still raining, I'm stuck and I'll just eat and I'll bench and I'll go out and do more later if I need to. But otherwise, you'll just go and you'll have your last kezayis in the meal. Why do you have to have your first kezayis while it's right in the middle of pouring? So he says that's because you want to chop in zman. You want to get the brach of shechiyanu on the sukkah as well. Oh, and you might think, oh, maybe I'm not able to do it while it's raining. So, lamaisa, I don't want to get into that, but you can. Okay, you can get the shachel. You can even do it while you're building your sukkah, but you have it. So, you can go into your sukkah. You make kiddush. You have shachiyanu on the sukkah as well. And then you have a kezayis. And then you go inside and you have the rest of your meal. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. Now, I want to analyze this one a little bit more conceptually. I pre-gamed. Here's a chart. Okay. If it is raining on the first night, okay? If it's raining on the first night, how might we understand what your chiyuv is, what you're supposed to do, and how we'll pask, and then halacha we'll turn to in a moment. Okay, so pretty much there's, I guess you could say four different options in Rishonim. It might be more, but I want to stick with this for simplicity's sake, at least amongst us, okay? Four different options. There's the first opinion, what I'm calling A over here. We have the smag, the or zerua, the shut rashba, and tosfos and brachos, according to many. Who say that, what do you do in a case when it's raining on the first night? What's the halacha? You eat inside, right? You're a pater right now. You're a mitzdar. You're a pater. The whole rule, the name of the game is Teishu Kintaduru. I know I have a chi of achil on this night. Every other night, right, I don't have to eat if I don't want to eat. But on the first night, I have to eat. Okay, but I also have Teishu Kintaduru. It's raining. I wouldn't eat in my house if it was pouring rain, even if I, for whatever reason, had to eat. I wouldn't eat in my house because it's pouring rain, so I also don't have to eat in my sukkah. So I would go inside. However, if it stops, what do? Then you have to go to the sukkah. Right? Obviously. If it stops, the machiv is still there. I still have to achiv to eat in the sukkah. It didn't go away because of the rain. So I'm mitzvah right now, so I'm putter from eating in the sukkah. On the first night, mitzvah still applies. So if the rain stops, then I have achiv to go back into the sukkah, and I have my kezayis in the sukkah after the rain stops. Right? I get home from shul, 7 o'clock, whatever it is, and it's pouring rain, so then I just eat inside. Then I have a kezayis. If the rain stops at 10 o'clock, I go back to the sukkah and have a kezayis. That's what their sheet is. And that's assuming that I won't be mitzdar in that scenario. Okay, I'm adding that point in now. It might not seem relevant, but it is very relevant. That's assuming I'm not mitzdar at that 10 o'clock time, you know, when I'm eating that kezayis, for whatever reason. Now, what I called option B here, the middle opinion in the Rishonim, but there's two real options there, is Rabbi Yehuda. There's a story about Rabbi Yehuda, which is quoted in Tosfos, which is in one fashion, that he would wait to eat, as Tosfos basically just said, the way many people understand Tosfos, is that he didn't eat inside of the sukkah. He would eat out inside of his home. Then he would go out to the sukkah once the rain stopped. But the Rush is a different account about Rabbeinu Yehuda, under the Balei Tosfos, right, under the Rishonim. And that was that he would eat a kezayis in the sukkah in the rain. Not that on the first night he said it was a chiyuv, and therefore he would eat inside, but keep waiting. If the rain stopped, he would go and have a kezayis in the sukkah. But rather, he would eat a kezayis even while it was raining. And there's a more intense version of that. The Maharam brought in the Kolbo, and the Archos Chaim, that Maharam held that you have to have your whole Suda in the Sukkah on the first night while it's raining. You would eat your whole Suda on the first night. Now, the Maharam might have just been a Chumrah off of that opinion. He might have been saying, okay, we're eating the Kedais, you might as well eat the whole meal. What's the conceptual understanding behind this option B? Is that on the first night, when we say there's a Chiyah from Tesvav, there is no Pitor of Mitzdayr. That's basically what it's saying. On the first night, you can't get away with the fact that, oh, I'm mitzdar. There is no mitzdar on the first night. There's a chiyuv. Mitzdar does not work on the first night. Understand? And, yeah. The first shita says that you eat inside, but you still have a chiyuv on the first night to eat. Right now, I'm mitzdar, so I don't eat in the sukkah, because I'm mitzdar. I have the right to go inside. But I have a chiyuv to eat on the first night. So if the mitzdar stops, the rain stops, so then I go and I have a chiyuv to eat it, because I was in the sukkah at that point. The second opinion, this option B, then chaval, you lost out on the mitzvah, right? That's what it sounds like. And if the rain's pouring all night long, then there's nothing to do, right? What am I supposed to do? I'm mitzvah. I don't have to eat in this sukkah then. So the second option is saying that there's you eat a kezayis in the pouring rain. That's what you do, and then you go back inside and finish your meal. Now, how might we analyze this, guys? How would you understand this machlokas? It seems to be whether or not mitzvah is a patur on the first night. Is it a p'tor or is it not, according to the first opinion? It still is a p'tor. You still have teshuvah k'tzura. According to the second opinion, it's not a p'tor. Now, what would that mean? How would you understand that, perhaps on another level? You can understand whether or not mitzar is just a hector. We're going to deal with this much more later on. Is mitzar simply a kula? At which point, on the first night, you don't have a right to rely on any kulas. First night, you have a chiyuv. You've got to do it completely. Right? So you've got to do it. You've got to do it. So no kulas. And that would be the second opinion. But the first opinion I hold, mitzvah is not a kula. It's not like, oh, it's a hector. It's like, I can't be yotzei mitzvah in this situation. What am I supposed to do? If I'm mitzvah, I can't be yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. It's a hafka. I'm not able to do the mitzvah of sukkah at that point. If that's true, so then, what do you want me to do? Eat in the rain? I'm not doing anything then. I'm not getting a mitzvah. Then it's raining on my head. So then you eat inside and you hope that the rain will stop and you'll go do Arabic Zaks. This is, in fact, how many Achronim, Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan, analyze this machlokas between Tosfos and the Rush, if you will. Right? You call it the Smag and the Orzeruah versus the Rush. Of whether what you do on the first night. Guys, what does it sound like we do the halacha? We're machmir. Well, it sounds like the Ramah actually is just possibly like the Rush, right? The Ramah just says, what do? You eat a kazayis on the sukkah. The Ramah doesn't say you go back, you then go inside and then go back out or anything. The Ramah says, the Ramah sounds like you possibly like the Rush, right? That you just eat a kazayis on the sukkah and then done. That's what you do on the first night. If the rain stops, he doesn't tell you what to do. But all the achronim are machmir for both A and B. They all say, what do you do? First, you do like B. You eat a kazayis in the pouring rain, and you make kiddush, right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that's what everybody says, right? That's what the understanding is to be. We're machmir for both. So you eat a kazayis, b'halacha, you eat a kazayis inside of the sukkah in the pouring rain. Then what do? You go back inside and you finish your meal, because nobody's really machmir for that ma'aram, although we'll talk about it soon, that you eat your whole suda on the first night in the sukkah, okay? So we're like, option like B1, right? So you do like the rush, eat a kazayis in the sukkah in the pouring rain. Then you go inside and you finish your meal. Then if the rain stops, what do? You go back outside and eat how much? A kazayas? No, that's not good enough. Because then you won't be able to make a leishiva sukkah again, because maybe you were yotzi beforehand. So then you eat a kabetiva od, right? So la halacha, what the Mishnah Berurah says, what the Aruch HaShulchan says, and really all the poskim say, what's the normal way of dealing with this? What do? We're machmir for both of these options. Again, kazayas in the sukkah, while it's raining, go back inside, finish your meal. When it rains, stops. Hopefully, if it doesn't stop, you're stuck. What are you supposed to do? But at least maybe you were yotzi according to the rush. According to those, there's something to do. But what do? So you go inside, you eat your meal, and then when the rain stops, hopefully it will, you go back outside, you have a kibbutz of ode, of mazonos, of pas, whatever, you go outside, you do the same thing, and you make a leishiva sukkah. Wonderful, that way you fulfill your chiyuv. However, there's another way to analyze the opinion of Tosfos, at which point you analyze the machlokas with Tosfos and the Rush differently, and indeed the Gra on the page does. The Gra understands us as saying, not that the opinion of Tosfos that mitztayer is still a patur on the first night. Okay, right? Remember, we said according to the first opinion, mitztayer is still a patur. That means on the first night, it's rainy, I'm patur, so I go inside and eat. Then if it stops, I go outside and I have a chiyuv to fulfill that chiyuv. And I fulfill by eating a kazayis once the rain stops. But the Gra says, no. And this is going to lead us into our discussions about maybe breaking up between rain and other types of mitztayer. The Gra says, no. What does the Gra say, l'halacha? You eat inside, and then if the rain stops, you go to your sukkah, even if you're mitztayer at that point. Let me give you a story. I'll tell you a story to help highlight this, and then we'll clarify more. Hirei Kedem and in other sources, Shimos, I think, is brought too, right, about the Rav, right? So there's a story about the Rav. When the Rav was a young boy, so it's a famous story, right? So what happened? The Rav was raining, pouring rain in Europe, and he was stuck. Nothing to do. His father was antsy to go and wait and wait to go into the sukkah, and it was pouring rain, they couldn't. So what did they do? They went, they had their kazayis, they were machmir, right, like this. They had their kazayis, they were machmir, like option B. They had their kazayis in the sukkah. Then they went inside and had their meal. And the rain didn't stop. Nebuch. So what do? They went to sleep. Right in the middle of the night, the Rav, as a young boy, gets woken up by his father. He says, oh, the rain stopped. We can go in and be mekayim in the midst of sukkah. And the Rav turns to his father. You know, I don't know if I was woken up in the middle of the night, I would be able to think like this, nor if I was like 6 years old or however old the Rav was. But what did the Rav say? He said, Mamonavshah. That doesn't make any sense. Why'd you wake me up? If you're passing like the Rush, so we were yotze already. There's no tour of mitztayer on the first night. At which point, when we ate in the sukkah while the rain was coming down, we were already yotze our chiyuv. I was mitztayer, but there's no tour of mitztayer. So right now, I fulfilled my chiyuv right now when I was eating the sukkah. And then I don't have to go back out there. And if mitztayer still is relevant on the first night, right, if there still is a tour of mitztayer, I was asleep. You don't wake up a sleeping person to go do a mitzvah of sukkah. That's called being mitztayer. So, Mamonavshach, if there's no mitztayer, I was already yotze. And if there is mitztayer, then you just were mitztayer me. What's going on here? Why'd you wake me up? So that story is an important story. Rav said, probably what his father was thinking, or Moshe Soloveitchik was thinking, was that there's a difference between rain and other types of mitztayer, which even though I've said already many times, we don't want to focus on this right now, but for this sif, we have to at least mention it, is that other types of mitztayer are indeed possibly not patra on this night. Meaning, you could say like the Rush, that maybe you're not patra from other types of mitztayer on the first night, at which point you were yotze your chiyuv, if you want to hold like the Rush on, you know, while you were asleep. But maybe that's wrong. And you weren't yotze your mitzvah in this scenario still, because rain is not the same as other types of mitztayer. Because rain is a hafka of the shame sukkah. It's not a sukkah. the chetz of the sukkah is gone at that moment. You can't fulfill your chiyuv at that point. At all. You can try to, but you're not in a sukkah. It says if you're eating in your house when you eat in the pouring rain. So don't be an idiot and eat in the pouring rain. Go inside and eat. And that's what happens. So, if you hold like the Rosh, they were yotzei their mitzvah while it was in the rain, right? Because mitzvah is not potter the first night, and they fulfilled their mitzvah. But let's say the Rosh is wrong, and the Tosfos, the way the Gra reads them, is right. And that means that there is still a Torah of mitzvah on the first night, but this wasn't a sukkah bechlal. This was not a sukkah at all. It was just sitting outside in the rain. That was stupid. So, we weren't fulfilling anything at that point. We go inside, we have our meal, and we go to sleep. And then what happens? It's the middle of the night. Should he wake him up or not? Yes, he should wake him up. Because you don't have to say, I'm sorry if I didn't say this clearly here. According to the Gra, according to Tosfos, it's not that the Mitzdayer Torah still exists on the first night. It, like the Rosh, does not apply on the first night. Okay, that's what I wrote here. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear just now. Right? Even if you're Mitzdayer, you have to go back to the Sukkah. So, the only reason you weren't yotzei your mitzvah the first time around wasn't because of mitzvah. The reason why you weren't yotzei your mitzvah the first time around was because you weren't in a sukkah. Now the rain stops. I don't care that you're mitzvah from sleep. That doesn't mean the sukkah is not a sukkah. It is a sukkah. There's no rain. But you are mitzvah, but there's no petorah mitzvah on the first night, so you have to be woken up to go there. To that, what's the machlokas between B and C? They both agree that mitzvah is not a petorah on the first night. They just argue over whether or not rain is afka of the shame sukkah. To B, it's not. To the Rosh, it's not. So that's why you're able to see them to the end. But if you want to be machmir for both B and C, for both Rosh and Tosfos, what do? You have to go out, even if you're mitzdayer later on, assuming the rain has stopped. Okay? So la halacha, if the rain goes on all night long, we still just do what we said beforehand, right? If the rain's going on all night long, you're stuck. You have your kazayas in the sukkah, and that's what you do. You go back inside. You hope the rain stops. But if it doesn't stop, then it doesn't stop, and there was nothing else to be done. If the rain does stop, though, when does the rain stop? If it stops before you go to sleep, so then you're supposed to go back outside. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins. That's what everybody paskins. If the rain stops while you're still awake. But let's say you're asleep. According to the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, don't wake him up. Mitzdayer still applies on the first night to the Bali Tosos, and the Rav's Mimon of Shach is correct. There's no need to be woken up. But according to the Rav's father, the Brisker Masorah, is that indeed, according to the Gra, you wouldn't need to wake him up. And I think, I don't know, Briskers at least are machmer this way. And I don't know, the first night is a very chavah mitzvah. I don't know. How can you sleep? How did you go to sleep in the first place, right? If you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, maybe the rain will stop. So, Mistama, I don't have enough time. Ellie asked me afterwards. I just want to finish up the last 2 minutes we have. One nafkamina between the Gra, the Gra's read and the Mishnah Berurah's read, if you will, I'll just stick names on them, right, is whether or not you need to be woken up if you went to sleep after the first night, once you already were yotzei for the Rosh, but you weren't yet yotzei for Tosos. So Mishnah Berurah is stupid to wake him up. But according to the Gra, no, you have to wake him up at that point. Another nafkamina would be, is it worthwhile to sit in the sukkah while it's raining? I wanted to mention, we said the Maharam had this minhag. He thought it was kedai for you to eat not just that first kedai in the sukkah in the rain, but the whole meal. And in fact, the Meiri brings from his Rebbeim, and there were many gedolei achronim who on the first night, even in the pouring rain, would eat in the sukkah. The Meiri said they would wear big hats and would protect them, and they would eat in the sukkah and in the pouring rain. So is that worthwhile? Is there any value to that or not? So Mishnah Berurah, you don't need to do that, but you hear why maybe it's worthwhile. Because according to the idea of the Rosh, that you know you're fulfilling a mitzvah. So for the you could well, you know, it's not really a good nafkamina. You know, I take it back as a nafkamina because even the Gra might want to be machmir for the Rosh and say that you could eat in the sukkah then anyhow. But at least according to the Gra, that's the Gra's read of Tosos, it's stupid. The Gra actually paskins like Tosos, so I don't know if the Gra himself would think it's wise for you to ever do that. The Gra's like, that's silly. It's not a sukkah. You can do whatever you want to protect yourself, but it's not a sukkah that you're sitting in, so what mitzvah are you being kind at all? So that might be another nafkmina, although it's a little bit finer. Okay, la halacha, though, let's talk about what you do on the first night. Actually, I want to conclude with this because I guess I'm out of time here. I'm sorry I didn't get to touch all the points. Maybe we'll begin next time with two or three little small points on this. Let me conclude again, la halacha, because there's a point that I didn't add. What do you do on the first night? According to the Mishnah Berurah, this is, I believe, how we paskin, and I think this is how most achronim say. Let's ignore the Gra and the Rav for a moment. Okay, so what should you do on the first night? If it's pouring rain. Delay. You should delay. For how long? Some achronim say all the way until Chatzos. Chatzos Laila. So that way, maybe the rain will stop and you'll do it. But the consensus of the achronim is that you shouldn't delay the whole night. Delay for an hour or two. Hope that maybe the rain will stop, and that way you can actually be fulfilling the mitzvah according to everybody. Maybe the rain will stop. Why don't you delay all the way to Chatzos? Because that was shteri your simchas yontif, right? Well, what do you mean? There's no loss of simchas yontif greater than having to wait 6 hours for your meal. So wait an hour or two, and if the rain stops, great. If the rain doesn't stop, so then what are you supposed to do? So then you have a kezias in the rain. You make kiddush first. You have a kiddush first, right? Then a kezias in the rain, and the Mishnah Berurah says you do that without a bracha because we're in Safi, right? We're only being machmir like the Ramah, but maybe I can sit in the sukkah at this point. At which point, you do it without a bracha, of leishiva sukkah is what I mean to say. And then again, you go back inside. If the rain stops, so then you go back out outside to the sukkah, and how much do you eat? You eat a kebetza ve'od. And there you do make a proper leishiva. Because since maybe you're yotzei beforehand, so maybe you can make a leishiva on just a kezias, because you have to, you want to have the shear that you're about to eat for a sukkah. I think that's the basis. I assume it's about the bracha. You're right. It might not be about the bracha. It might be because like, you just want to have a full other meal there. But I think it's because of the bracha. Okay. I'm out of time. Amir Hashem, next time we'll very very quickly talk about sleeping on the first night in the sukkah. We'll talk about and we'll also talk about what about Yontif Sheni Shel Golios nowadays, right, where we have a second day of Yontif. We'll talk about those two little inyanim. But then otherwise, we're going to move on. Guys, I want to cover more ground now because I realize we're running out of weeks and I really want to get to the juicy stuff in Tavarish Mem. What we're going to do next week is Vav, Zion, and Ches. They're all pretty small. We'll do Vav, Zion, and Ches, and Mir Shem finish up the Simen.